This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. It's Tuesday morning, so you know what that means. Cousin Sal is in the building. Sal, yeah. How's it going? Happy Tuesday morning.
Going great.
Good to see you.
Happy Tuesday to you. Congratulations on the jacket from the Morgan Freeman collection.
Thank you very much.
Something different.
Yeah, it was a little, hat tip to our guy Morgan Freeman, the voice of God, you know, for a lot of people. Bruce Almighty, shout out to that movie. But, we're going to have to talk to God because we had to watch some ugly football last night. We had to watch the Chargers and the Jets. This game never got good at any level. And after the game, there was a lot of conversations about Zach Wilson. Let's just start with the gameplay itself. The Chargers, I guess, dominated this game, but it wasn't a very inspiring performance on Monday night, Sal.
Yeah, well, we went to get something to eat, and we missed the only play that mattered, the punt return for a touchdown. And then you had, like, fried fish, and I had jambalaya. Let's not talk about that. That doesn't matter. I don't know what to think about this Chargers. I didn't think they were in a good spot here because they don't put together back-to-back solid performances, and I'm not sure that they did last night. The defense stepped up for sure. It's almost like they faced Zach Wilson. I don't know who you get excited for if you're the Chargers. Fantasy-wise, if you started their defense, it was the only good move.
Let's table the Chargers. Yeah, we'll talk about your fantasy mishap there with the Chargers defense. Maybe we just skip that, but let's start with another mishap, which is Zach Wilson playing quarterback for the New York Jets. I mean, he had a Week 4 moment, a promising moment. They had their highs, right? They beat the Bills with Aaron Rodgers in Week 1, then they beat the Eagles. But after the game, Robert Saleh, talking about his quarterback, he said, quote, "I don't know if you can say it's a step back. This is just kind of what we expect." What do we think about that? I mean, he basically said we expect to have not good quarterback play.
Listen, they should expect to do well against the 31st ranked pass defense, and that's what the Chargers have, right? So this is where everybody gets well against his pass defense. Zach Wilson, okay, you got tripped up against the Giants. Aiden O'Connell went out and did fairly well against the Giants. Why are we going to keep making excuses? And one thing I'll say is a lot of pressure, but sacks he shouldn't have taken. He took like 6.5 from Bosa, Mack, and Tuli Tuipulotu. So, that's a lot. I think he could have escaped like 3 of those. So, didn't help his team out
much. Is there any hope, because Aaron Rodgers, if you've been keeping up with the Jets, right, he comes out before the games. He's got a shoe on, a boot on, whatever you want to call it. He throws the ball around. He gets fans excited. And then there was a video that came out after the game. He was talking to Derwin James of the Chargers. And he, the lip readers out there, they said he said to Derwin James, quote, "Give me a few weeks." Now, do we think that there's this man is trying to defy science. He's trying to defy every medical brain in the country, in the world. Is there a world in which Aaron Rodgers comes back and actually does help this Jets team?
I guess so. I don't know. If he's throwing and moving, I feel like he can move around as well as Zach Wilson in the pocket right now. I don't think he needs a few weeks unless it's another darkness retreat that we don't know about. I'm not sure what he needs, but I don't know that in a few weeks it's going to matter. Like you said, they beat the Bills and the Eagles. Which is that an anomaly, or is this and what we saw against the Giants the real team? It's just a bizarre squad. I can't get my mitts on them at all.
And when you look at the sideline, when they show their head coach, I mean, he looks just as dismayed and despondent as the rest of us, right? I mean, it doesn't inspire much hope.
But he said that's what they expected. He shouldn't look like that at all.
I think he wants the offense to be a little bit better. In case you missed it, Zach Wilson was sacked 8 times in this game, which is a ridiculous number to say the least. Let's talk about that defense, the Chargers defense, because they did look really good in this game. They got some pressure. Derwin James looked good in this one. Had a nice fumble recovery right on the sideline, and also had a nice fumble recovery on a Khalil Mack sack later in the game. But do we believe in this Chargers defense? They look better, you know, but it was against Zach Wilson.
I don't know. And then last week, what was it, the Bears they beat? Mm-hmm. Was that the other
game? Yeah, right. So two bad teams.
It's tough because I don't know what their identity is. Like you said, they have those three solid pass rushers. Did I say that right? Pass right? Yeah, I'm getting better at that. But again, I feel like you could throw on them. I think any capable quarterback. Again, they're 4-4. They have the Lions, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs on their schedule. They're not going to be favored in any of those games, I don't believe. So I think they're going to struggle to get to. They're probably a little less than even odds to make the playoffs. I think they're going to struggle to get that 7th seed.
And now they have less than a week to prepare for a team in Detroit that has looked, right, you know, really good this year outside of that one Ravens blip. So that's going to be a tough matchup for the Chargers. Do we feel good about Staley? Because there was a time, I mean, obviously McDaniels did get fired, but we had the conversations about Brandon Staley. Felt like he was on the chopping block. Do you think he helped himself by getting this team back to 500?
I feel great about that guy. I never had a doubt.
He seemed like a nice
Brandon
guy,
Staley.
Right?
I mean, it helps when you don't have to make bizarre decisions, right? You don't have to go on 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-4 when your defense isn't going to give up a touchdown and not even really close until the very end. I mean, I think the Jets struggled to get 200 yards total until that last drive, which
right,
was a
garbage time
drive. Yeah, yep. So I don't know. I don't want to give anyone a break just yet.
Let's play a fun game. This is my favorite game. We do it all the time. Over-under reactions. I give you a general statement. You say to me, that's an overreaction. That's an underreaction.
Okay.
You yell about it. We go crazy. And, you know, and we try to figure out what's actually happening in the NFL. Let's start with your team, the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are not a top five team in the NFC South. Is that an overreaction or an underreaction?
If I reach across and slap you, is that an overreaction or
that thing would be a proper reaction.
Come on, Tate. Who's the five? Detroit, Philly, San Francisco, Seattle. We're not next. Who's your next? The Falcons?
I think the reaction is wrong. I think the Cowboys are a top five team.
Well,
you made
the question.
No, Morgan Freeman, the voice of God.
Oh, that's
did.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I blame God. Yeah, listen, they lost again in hysterical fashion. I don't know that we learned anything new from this team. We know they can lose in stupid ways at the end, but they did play with the Eagles. Not too many teams can play with them, just the Cowboys and the Commanders and the Jets. This year is so screwed up. What's going on?
It doesn't make any sense. But Dak Prescott looked pretty good until that final drive.
Absolutely.
So for all the people going at Dak, don't go at Dak. Don't blame Dak. Next up, Sal. Poor Dak. The Ravens will be the scariest team in the playoffs. Overreaction or underreaction? Again, Lamar Jackson, 9 fumbles so far this season, which is worrisome to say the least.
Yeah, that's weird because they look great. They really do. Mm-hmm. They kicked the crap out of some good NFC teams, better than the Cowboys in your eyes. But no, Detroit and Seattle went in there and got demolished. It was really...
What even a game?
No, it was like 95-9 or something. And here's what's crazy about them. They have a rookie emerging. Keaton Mitchell had 138 yards on Sunday. Like, you shouldn't have rookies emerging this late in the season. And the Ravens do, and they're playing some physical ball, and they have a capable head coach and quarterback. I do think they're the scariest team in January.
I think that they, if they can keep it together, they are the best first quarter team I've ever watched in my entire life. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but if you watch a Ravens game, at the end of the first quarter, it feels like it's 10-0, 14-0, sometimes even 21-0, game over. So,
and we haven't even gotten to the Justin Tucker gravy days yet,
right?
Where he's going to kick like 4 field goals a game and just stifle everybody.
Yeah, and you got a great closer there. And I think Lamar, that new contract, everything is working well for Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the Ravens. Next one, Sal. Raiders fans should be excited about their new coach, Coach Pierce. Mm. Overreaction or underreaction?
I don't ever want to tell Raiders fans to be excited because I don't think it's something law enforcement can keep up with. But I think Josh McDaniels was a disaster, and this was evident by the players smoking cigars afterwards. It was like a relief that he was gone.
Right. The Wicked Witch is dead, right? I mean, I've never seen people dance on someone's grave.
It's very
like
weird,
that.
But there's one thing to be in support of the new coach, Antonio Pierce, but I think this was a solid few to Josh McDaniels.
Right.
We never want to see that guy again. Now, I'm not sure it's enough. They're still the Raiders. It's still probably Aiden O'Connell who's going to have to beat the Dolphins, the Chiefs twice, and the Chargers. So this might be short-lived enthusiasm.
Yeah, quick tangent just on the Raiders. Who do you think, like, if you closed your eyes, like, who is actually a good fit to be the head coach of the Raiders? Is it Coach Pierce? Like, is it Jim Harbaugh? Like, who is the answer for Las Vegas right now?
I'm closing my eyes.
Who do you see?
Mike McCarthy? I'm seeing Urban Meyer, but you're not going to like what I see. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. We don't like that one. But again, I think right now, I think Mark Davis has $55 million outstanding to coaches. So,
really nuts. Yeah. So spiteful.
Let's throw someone else in there and see what happens.
He keeps hitting those Vegas airport slot machines, and eventually it'll pay itself off.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Great haircut. I love to see Mark Davis out there. And he does win championships in the WNBA.
People forget
about this. He is a champion. Let's keep it rolling. The Falcons should let Arthur Smith's kid call red zone plays. If you didn't see it, Arthur Smith, head coach of the Falcons, his son for Halloween, dressed up as the coach of the Falcons, and his one play call was give the ball to Bijan Robinson. And if you haven't been watching the Falcons in the red zone, they do not like to give the ball to what some think could be a potential rookie of the year in Bijan Robinson. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that this is a good move for the Atlanta Falcons?
It's good for me because I took Stroud to win offensive rookie of the year. Not that he needs any help, but Bijan Robinson was in the lead for a while there. And now
looked
he's not
the
getting
part,
any
right.
Look, I think the only thing dumber than taking a running back in the first round is taking a running back in the first round and then never using him.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on there? Yes, keep the kid in there. I think it's an underreaction.
And I appreciate that Arthur Smith put that video out knowing that all the response is going to be listen to your kid.
Yeah.
Please give the ball to Bijan Robinson. There's a lot of stats out there about Bijan not getting the ball in the red zone. We're not sure what's going on there, but you know, maybe eventually Arthur Smith will listen
they
to his
They did draft him, right?
Yeah.
He didn't force his way on the team?
They like drafting guys and not giving them the football. I don't know what it is. It's a way to hoard players from other teams, I guess. We'll
Kyle
see.
Pitts, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I'm wide open. Can they throw me the ball? Well, we'll see if Heinicke can. Next up, Sal, we can already say my Carolina Panthers made the wrong pick with the number one pick. Mm. Overreaction or underreaction?
I think it's an underreaction. First of all, we could say whatever. We could already say whatever we want. Mm-hmm. It's the United States
That's
of
true.
America. I feel bad for Bryce Young, but his timing seems way off. Two pick sixes, three interceptions overall. Stroud looks poised. He looks like he's a third-year vet. I feel like he has the confidence of, like, a Trevor Lawrence at this point. Sorry, Tate. I think, you know, I think you got the pick wrong. By the way, what's your comp? Who's your Bryce Young comp?
I should have known as soon as this draft was coming up. I had just come back to the Ringer. They had the beautiful Ringer NFL draft guide, and you know, the number one pick. They have the comp there, and I'm looking. I'm like, Bryce Young to the Panthers. Loved him in college. Just a gamer. Even when he didn't have great receivers around him, he got Alabama to the finish line.
Right.
And then I look at the comps, and it says Steph Curry, and I was like, what? Wait, what? What is happening? And you know, CJ Stroud. A lot of people liked him in the Panthers building.
Right.
And now they can all say, see, we told you so. So I'm not done yet.
I think he's a better quarterback than Steph Curry. I really do. Honestly, I'll give you that.
Well,
I think that's unfair.
Steph Curry is a great Panthers fan, and I'm sure he's upset about that comp, but that's a conversation for another day.
Right.
Last one, Sal. Texans -2.5. Speaking of CJ Stroud, is the toughest gambling loss of the 2023 season. Overreaction or underreaction?
Mm. All right, I'm going to say I have a weird theory about this with the gambling losses. I think if you're winning a game for 58 minutes and then lose in the last second, that's a bad gambling loss. The circumstances were bizarre because they didn't even attempt the two-pointer at the end, which had they made it, they would have covered. But let's face it, the Texans backers, Raheem Palmer, I know, my co-host on Ringer Wise, guys. You got lucky.
Sharp guy.
You got lucky. When you bet the Texans, you didn't think Stroud would go out there and throw for 470 yards and get a last-second touchdown pass. So I'm going to say that's an overreaction. I don't think it's the worst.
Speaking of overreactions, underreactions, are we worried about Bill Simmons? He said at the start of the season that C.J. Stroud could not be a good quarterback because his name was C.J.
Yeah.
He did not like the A.J.s, the C.J.s, the D.J.s, whoever it is. Do we think that's going to hold up, or is he going to be worried about
that
take?
He doesn't like the initials. He really, you know.
He's anti-initials.
If it's 90210 or something like that, he's all initials. But as far as taking snaps, no. Way.
Yeah, man, pouring out for that opinion and that take. But look, live another day, season two, right? It could just be a rookie fluke. We'll see what happens. That's the over and under reactions there. Now let's get
that
to
was
the
a fun game.
That
I,
was
I,
fun.
I make fun of you, but that really was some good
I
stuff.
Had a lot of fun. Now let's get on the riverboat and let's call up the captain because we're going to do a little bit of prop culture. The question this week, Sal, is a simple one. We were just in Frankfurt. We're going to be in Frankfurt again this weekend. If Germany gets an NFL franchise, who should be the owner is the question from the Riverboat Captain this week. The favorite is David Hasselhoff, 3-1. Heidi Klum, who just had a great Halloween at 5-1. Michael Fassbender at 10-1. Oppenheimer, who had a big summer back in theaters, trying to break, I think it was $1 billion in theaters at 25-1. And the field is even odds. Who are you going to take, Cousin Seth?
So if it's Oppenheimer, it's the movie that is the owner, or the guy that's dead?
I think it's Chris Nolan and the IP, whoever owns the Oppenheimer IP. I don't know. Okay. Whoever wrote that book, I guess.
Dead. I'm going to have to go watch that movie again. It wasn't long enough. All right. I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to take the field. And I'm going to go Christoph Waltz.
Okay. Yeah, I like
that. He's a lot of fun because I think nothing would be better if he was the owner and he went in there and gave a halftime speech in Glorious Bastard style to a bunch of 23-year-olds who just graduated Florida A&M like last year.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what the hell? What is
what
going
just happened?
On?
Yes, the whiplash of Christoph Waltz in character as Hans Landa from, you know, Inglourious Basterds. I think that would be a great moment. That's a good pick. I'm going to go with Heidi Klum. She made her husband dress up as an egg for Halloween. Ooh. I just feel like, you know, the fact that she's willing to do that to someone so close to her, she's like, you're going to be an egg and you're going to like it. I feel like she could run a football team. That's a badass approach from Heidi Klum.
I would dress
her
up as an egg for a poached ovary, whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you need, Heidi Klum, we can do it on this show. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to do some line look-aheads, and we're going to talk some Track to the Future.
Oh, that's your favorite game.
Yeah, right? It's my second favorite.
Oh, second.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. I'm still here with Cousin Sal. Now, we talked about what happened this past weekend. Now, we're going to talk about what's going to happen in the future, and we're going to play... No, we're not going to play a game. We're just going to do some fun.
Oh,
we're going to have some live look-aheads.
Like
I got you excited.
God,
yeah,
we're I'll just leave. You know I'll get up and leave. Come on.
I know that you like playing games, but we're going to just do some lines this time. Okay. We're going to talk about the games. And the first one we have, Thursday Night Football. Apologies to Al Michaels. I know this is going to be a tough one to
just
cover.
Just to Al? Why not? Why stop?
To America,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
To the public at large, to all our international fans out there. But we got the Carolina Panthers taking on the Chicago Bears. Bears -3.5 in this game. What are your thoughts, Sal?
This one moved up. It opened at 3. I thought it was fair at 3. I don't think the Bears should lay more than 3 points to anyone, and this is an example of that, but it did go up to 3.5. I would be completely surprised if Justin Fields did not play this game. I think the league made a deal with the Bears. This is a Super Bowl duffel, as in a duffel bag full of money, and make sure we have some marketable player on that field.
Somebody has to play in this game, right?
We can't have Al Michaels dozing off, so I think that's why it maybe went up to 3.5. So I don't know, Tate, your Panthers, I'm not sure what they're going to do. What do you think they end up? What do you think FanDuel has their over-under win as?
I don't know. I would say probably 2.5.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, right.
It's 4.5.
No way.
Yes, let's make some money.
Okay, let's take
here.
The under.
Under,
right.
For sure.
Yeah, under locked in. I feel like this was a tough weekend for the Bryce Young contingent, myself included. Yeah. We've been fighting an uphill battle from the start. C.J. Stroud had an amazing effort. And it obviously, people forget this, you know, with the DJ Moore trade, the Panthers don't even have their pick. The Bears have their pick. So this is a really just kind of rub salt in the wound type game. So I hope Bryce Young can show up. 2 pick-sixes this past weekend and another, you know, interception to add insult to injury. So
and
not
a guy named
picks.
Moore had the 2 interceptions for the touchdowns, right? DJ Moore gone, and now this guy's running.
Just
oh,
in
it's
his
also
head.
Terrible.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
It's too much. It's too much. And we need less and not more. So we'll see what happens with the Carolina Panthers. Let's track to the future right here because we're talking about two bad football teams, and what bad football teams want is picks, and a lot of people want the first overall draft pick. Right now, Caleb Williams is still the favorite at -270, or you could take the field at +180. How are we feeling about Caleb Williams? Obviously, this weekend was a tough loss to Washington.
Yeah, and there's going to be more losses. They're just not very good defensively. Mm-hmm. They're going to get creamed, I think, by Oregon, and then maybe another one down the road. But yeah, it's weird. There's no talk of like a tackle from Emporia State being drafted. It's all Caleb Williams or your guy May for UNC. I think it stays with Williams. I wouldn't lay the minus 270, but, you know, his numbers haven't moved. He had a game where he had 199 yards and three interceptions against Notre Dame, and it's still like, no, he's the first pick. And you know why? Because there's enough comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, and if you watch him, he does look like him. He does move like him. He's nifty like him, and nobody wants to pass on the next Patrick Mahomes. If he doesn't turn out that way, and he probably won't, so be it, but you can't have egg on your face.
Well, you know a team that did pass on Patrick Mahomes was the Chicago Bears, sure. And they took Mitchell Trubisky from UNC. So there is a little bit of a weird, you know, connection
We're
between the two drafts. Yeah,
too.
I like it, yeah. But it will be tough to go against Caleb Williams. A lot of people are very excited about him at the next level, and the Carolina Panthers will not be seeing him under center. It'll be another team. So there you have it. Let's go to the next game. We had the Indianapolis Colts taking on the New England Patriots. Patriots plus 1.5 in this one, and the game is in Frankfurt, Germany. Mm-hmm. This is a rivalry, right? This is Deflategate.
I guess so.
There's a lot of back and forth between these two franchises, and I don't know about you, but I feel like the Patriots are going to feel right at home in Germany.
Oh, I think so. In fact, Bill Belichick might make it his home. He might be like, screw right. this, I'm losing to Gardner Minshew now and Shane Steichen.
NFL Europe, here he comes.
I'm a militant look to me. I'm going to stay in Germany. So do we have to wake up for this one? I think you did point out that it's a rivalry, so maybe we do.
I think we're 5 years past it mattering, right? But, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, there was a time. It was fun.
No way they're going to sign those two. Yeah, I think the line is fair. I picked it at Colts 1.5. You just can't make the Patriots favorite at any point against a team that can win every week or every other week.
Yeah, the Colts look like they're bouncing back a little bit. They got a little bit of juice. Gardner Minshew, obviously a good game against the Carolina Panthers and the two pick sixes. That always helps. Let's track to the future here. New England, we're looking at the season win total. The line is at 5.5. You can take the over at plus 110. You can take the under at minus 134. Are we going to hammer the under here?
You're rubbing this in because I took the over 5.5 weeks ago. I was Simmons, it's fine.
Guess the lines. He got in your head.
You're right. No, he urged me not to do it, but I was like, you know what? What is he going to go 5-12, the old man? No way. He's got this record to break. But now it's still 5.5, even after that loss to Washington, which they were supposed to win. They were favored in that game. I still think they go over. Colts, Giants, Broncos, Jets are their best hope. They're probably going to have to win all of them. Why did I make this bet? It would have been so much fun just rooting against them.
The thing about Bill Belichick, too, all of his teams, at least when Brady was there, it felt like, even when Matt Castle was playing or Brian Hoyer, it felt like they didn't make big mistakes. And now you got drops every week. You got bad penalties. Like, when is there a point where we say, hey, Bill Belichick, let's lock it up. You know what I mean? Let's get it together. Let's get organized.
There are some clips of their receivers running routes because I know Mac Jones gets a lot of crap for it. But the receivers are running routes like you would, like if you were on ice. You're just never, they're never even digging their feet in.
They're not having fun out there, and the New England Patriots fans are not happy about it, but that's a conversation for another day. Let's keep it pushing. We got the San Francisco 49ers at Jacksonville, the Jaguars plus 3 in this game. Jaguars have been playing good football at this point, and the San Francisco 49ers are a team that we all liked a couple weeks ago, but now there's some hesitation about this team.
Yeah, and so I wonder if this bye week helped, which team it helped. Like, the Jaguars had a lot of momentum, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, we're to be reckoned with. Trevor Lawrence is getting a little mouthy, you know, and then 49ers needed that week to rest up a little bit. This might be one of the biggest games in Jaguars history. Honestly, home against the 49ers. I know they've had playoff games and those count obviously bigger, but this is going to show you what they're made of. And if they beat like one of the top two teams in the NFC, look out. Sky's the limit.
I had Jaguars fans get mad at me because a couple of weeks ago I said they're actually a contender in the AFC.
And they got mad?
Well, the Jags fans are like, we've been a contender. Did you not watch the playoffs last year? And I said, I did watch the playoffs. The Chiefs went to the Super Bowl and they won it. I watched it. It happened. But let's track to the future. Let's talk about the AFC 1 seed because the Chiefs are still the favorites at plus 110. We got the Ravens at plus 330. But you got the Jaguars. You got some value there at plus 700. Maybe these fans are right, Sal. Should I bet on the Jags to be the AFC number 1 seed?
You know, at 7-1, I went over this with Mikey Meatballs in the car right over here. I throw that out there because I know everyone's very interested in my process. So,
yeah, well, shout out to Mikey Meatballs.
Of course. Winner on Ringer Wise Guys. Right. Gave out a winner yesterday, Sunday. But anyway, yes, I think 7-1 is a good bet because I was looking at it. These teams all have really tough schedules. Now, remember, Tennessee went through this garbage division and claimed the one seed because they beat up on everyone. Obviously, it's a little better now. You have Stroud. You have Minshew who can win games, right? So, Will Levis is fun to watch. But other than that, they really do have the easiest stretch there. They really have the Titans, they have the Texans, they have the Bucks and the Panthers. You're not going to find an easier four on any of the Chiefs or Ravens schedule. So I think 7-1 is worth taking a shot at.
Yeah, shout out to Trevor Lawrence. He's a guy that I think he's kind of, you know, becoming the quarterback that a lot of people thought he would be when he was the number one pick coming out of Clemson. Yeah. So they're a scary team, and the Jags, they have a good defense, they have a good offensive line. I think they have a good head coach who's been in those big moments before, obviously won a Super Bowl. So good things happening in Jacksonville. Next game, we've got the New Orleans Saints going to Minnesota to take on the new look Vikings. Vikings plus 2.5 in this game. Do you like the Pastronaut, Josh Dobbs,
ooh,
in this one? Yeah,
I do like that. I like that nickname. I like it. Plus 2.5. I don't like the Saints giving points to anyone. They're miserable watch. Like, they couldn't even cover on Sunday. I don't know what that against the Bears, right? Is that what it was? Yeah, I can't even remember the play. Dobbs.
It's so ugly that it's forgettable. Yeah, right. You want to dump it. You know, there's some things. We watch so many games, so you got to dump some out.
I was a fourth-string quarterback. Dobbs is good. I would say keep everything status quo. Don't learn the players on the team's names. Mm-hmm. Avoid them like you did last week.
Right.
And just do your thing and run out there. And I think he's good enough to make a difference for this team. I'm taking him plus 2.5.
And Minnesota is, they're starting to buy into their own hype. Let's track to the future here, because the Vikings to make the playoffs, yes, is -122. Mm. No is -150. Not great odds there, but what are your thoughts on the Vikings and their potential to make the playoffs?
Great last week when I told you plus 225 to get a seven seed. I think I could sign Colt McCoy. I didn't even throw Dobbs' name out there, but he made the difference. Now, had they played that game with Jaren Hall, I don't think they win on Sunday, but Dobbs is making a difference. And to claim that seven seed, you're only going to have to beat a team like the Saints. You're only going to have to beat a team like Tampa Bay. And he's got numbers that are comparable to those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I like the Vikings to make a push here. I think their team, they seem connected. And Josh Dobbs feels like he's been embraced by everyone. Did you see the video? Kirk Cousins was at home. You know, he had his just had surgery on his Achilles, but he was throwing passes to his son. I thought that was a great moment. Yeah,
that was nice.
Very good. Shout out to Kirk Cousins.
I like
it.
Good guy, it turns out.
A lot of people used to talk bad about him. Then he makes a Netflix series and everyone loves him. Right. That's how it goes in this business.
That's what we're going to have to do.
We should get a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's easy enough.
Yeah, we'll just do a commentator, and that'll be the name of it, and then we'll just throw in different people. It'd be great. Next up, we got the Cleveland Browns. AFC North showdown here. The Browns taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens -6 in this game. Lamar Jackson has had 9 fumbles this season. But it doesn't matter. The Ravens still find a way to win football games, and they've won them in commanding fashion at times. Who do you like in this one, Browns-Ravens?
I stare at their box scores for a stupid amount of time because they're like, it doesn't make sense that they're blowing out
the Lions. It's like calculus, right?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense that they're blowing out Seattle. These are good teams, you know? Mm-hmm. I think this number is right around 6. I don't know that I'm going to take the Ravens here, but don't look for another 8-sack game from Cleveland. This is not Clayton Tune. This is Lamar Jackson running around. And you're right. Maybe trouble if he starts coughing the ball up. I love all these AFC North games are going to be good from here up.
Best division in football, do you think, right now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's a lock. Let's track to the future. Let's look at the AFC North winner. Right now, the favorite is Baltimore at -145. You got Cincinnati at +320, and you got the Cleveland Browns at +500. We have to admit, Deshaun Watson, 2 touchdowns, looked like he was more in command of that offense, and the defense pitches a shutout. So Cleveland looks a little bit more formidable than we thought, but the Ravens, do you think they can handle business?
Deshaun looked at that schedule and was like, I'm going to come back against the Cardinals. That's it. You know what? Maybe by Thursday, the next week against the Ravens, I won't be feeling so
good. Yeah, I'll go against a quarterback that's going to throw for 58 yards. Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Exactly. Listen, here's the thing. Everybody keeps winning in this division. All 4 teams won. So that's why a team like the Bengals can't gain ground numbers-wise. They're still +320. I think the Bengals are really, really tough. But like I said last week, I like the bet for them to go further in the playoffs versus, you know, they're a game and a half behind the Ravens already. I still like the Ravens at -145. They seem like the scariest team.
Yeah, everybody, when they talk about the AFC, obviously they talk about Pat Mahomes and then they talk about Josh Allen, but Joe Burrow is 5-1 against those two quarterbacks. Yeah. Is there a certain level where, you know, Joe Burrow may not pass the measurables test and all this sort of stuff, but he has whatever that it factor is, right? I mean, they call him Joe Cool. Mm-hmm. He was having fun in this game, pointing for first downs against Josh Allen. What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow and just his confidence in general?
I think he's super cool. I think if we put these numbers in front of him, like, Joe, what do you think? +320. He's like, screw you. I'm going to go out and I'm going to try. I'm going to win most of these games going forward. and I'm going to be there in late January.
And I think he's a sandbag in SOB because he starts the season slow. Everybody gets off the scent, and then he comes reckless abandonment for the rest of the season. So, Joe Cool, I'm on to you. I see what you're doing, and I do respect it. Yeah, cut it out. last game we have here, Sal, we got the Denver Broncos, the most confounding team in football. I can't even handicap this team. They're going to go to Buffalo to play the Bills. Bills minus 7.5 in this one. Who do you like
Another
here, Sal?
Another confounding team. I'm not sold. All right, Denver is not the team that gave up 60 or 70. Well, they are the team that gave up 70 points. There's no doubt about it. There's box scores that indicate that. But
it did happen.
Now they're coming back. They played well against the Chiefs twice. I think maybe people were signing off on the Broncos being good and the Bills being bad just a little too soon. I like the Bills as one of my better bets of the week, minus 7.5.
Yeah, I like the Bills in this one as well. But yeah, I said confounding for the Broncos, not even realizing we're going to talk about Buffalo. Do you still believe in the idea that this is a Super Bowl contending and potential winning team, or are we kind of going back a degree here?
I think we're going back a degree. I do think their secondary will get healthy eventually. They're running around. They're shorthanded back there, and it shows, and it's going to show against Joe Burrow. I don't think it will show against a Russell Wilson type.
And one last track to the future, Bills to make the playoffs. Yes, is minus 122. Ugh. No is plus 100.
It's
is
crazy.
It worth taking
it's
no
crazy.
Plus 100?
I'm going yes. Like I said, a guy like Burrow is going to have his way with the Bills. They like to play zone defense, and then when he's like carving them apart, they play man-to-man, and they can't catch up there. This is different with the Broncos. They have the Broncos, the Jets, and the Patriots. They have 5 wins, so that would be 8. I think they would need one more. I think 9-8 makes it. I can't believe that number is so low now. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, they are making all of us look a little ridiculous as we try to figure out who they are as a team. They have a lot of talent. Diggs, Allen, you know, the list goes on. Dalvin Cook looks great so far, but they just haven't been able to piece together winning football, and they've had some really big blunders. So they're a team that we're going to be talking about. We're going to have Van Lathan join us here, Sal.
All right.
And I'm going to talk to him about Coach Prime. Sal, you can go watch his show, Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend, and the Ringer Wise Guys. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Really great.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire. You're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. Joining us now, you know him from the Ringerverse. He's been on the show a couple of times. Van Lathan. Van, great to see you, man.
Tate, it's great to be back.
I like that you're fired up. I also wanted to give you, before we get into, we got a lot of topics to talk about, but I want to give you a little bit of a congratulations. The Ringerverse live show, from the videos that I saw, the pics I saw, it was a beautiful event, and it looked like you guys had a great time. So just wanted to shout out the Ringerverse.
Shout out to the Ringerverse. We had a fantastic time. Shout out to Button Mash, House of R.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the Midnight Boys, Pew Pew, the Min Edition. All the shows, we came together, and we had a nerding good time. That's what we do as nerds.
It was awesome, and I saw you today. You had a lightsaber. I mean, these are good moments in your life right now. Things are going well, you know what I mean? So this is what we want to see here in the Ringer universe.
I got the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
It's
green
a real
one.
Deal.
Green
it's
one.
It's not just green. It'll change colors, right?
Okay.
I can go from Sith to Luke.
Ooh.
I can go back to Mace Windu. A lot of different Jedis I can, because you never know which Jedi you want to be, right?
Yeah.
Or if you want to be evil, if you want to be a Sith.
Yeah, the purple is strong. I mean,
purple
Mace
strong.
Windu. I like that Samuel L. Jackson came in and was like, I need purple. I'm
See,
not going to do
is,
green or blue.
I don't want to go with purple because it's too on the nose for people.
Right.
You know, if people look at
me. Well, it's almost like, yeah, you're mad. Like, people are like, you've been typecast. Like,
yeah,
you should have the purple
I don't want to
yeah.
do. It's like going to Comic-Con when you're a black guy as Blade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mix it up, brother. You know, they expect you to be Blade. They expect you to be Nick Fury.
Yeah, they want you to be Blade, right?
Yeah, bust their head. You know what I mean? Do something different. Come in as Iron Man, like Trayvon Stark.
Yeah.
Like, change it up. Like, make them go do get wild with it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that outlook. And I feel like a guy who kind of took that same, you know, approach to college football is a guy, Coach Prime. Coach Prime came in and he said, I am going to be this character, Coach Prime. I am going to lay down the law. I'm going to basically be Bobby Bowden, but I'm going to be in Colorado. Is that a transition we can make?
Tate, first of all, speaking of transitions, you guys, that wasn't rehearsed. Tate just seamlessly went from Star Wars into Coach Prime. I just want everybody to understand that you're dealing with a pro here.
No, we're making a journey. You know what I mean? We like characters here.
So this is my thing about Coach Prime.
Let's talk about it.
Love Coach Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Love Coach Prime.
He's had high highs, had some low lows.
Right.
Right.
What I'm wondering about people is whether or not they're actually in love with Coach Prime or the idea of Coach Prime.
Mm-hmm. Good
and this, question. This is what I mean. When you watch a college football season, I don't know how many people watch a lot of college football, but it is my favorite sport. When you watch a college football season, there are ways to identify what a success is, right? Of course, there are wins and losses. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to – that's the bottom line, right? Everybody wants to look at wins and losses. But there's also how the team is functioning week to week, practice to practice, how the program and organization is functioning week to week, practice to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And there is – there's some criticism that could be levied. I mean, let's just be honest with you. Colorado's regressing. Colorado's regressing from what they're doing on the field. Obviously, they're playing a tougher slate now. They're in conference. They're regressing from what they're doing from the coach's box.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, uncertainty there with his demotion of Sean Lewis, Pat Shurmur coming in, him handing over play calling duties. Like, they don't seem to really know what they want to do right now. And I think it's because Coach Prime is still learning on the job of how to be a college football coach at the Power 5 level. And I would just say, if people like the idea of somebody that's going to come in, ruffle feathers, change the dynamic in college football, that's one thing. Actually doing it
mm-hmm.
has to be foundational. You have to build. You have to instill confidence.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
It
can't happen overnight. Right.
But people just need to understand what it is they want from Colorado.
Yeah, and right now, you know, we have a situation. You talk about your love for college football. We're going to talk about Nick Saban, talk about LSU. That was a tough game this past weekend. You're disgusted.
Yeah, I'm
just thinking about it. But that is a great rivalry. And you talk about those two coaches who have been there. They have the continuity. Of course, Brian Kelly at LSU, Nick Saban in Alabama. Yeah. Just your thoughts watching those two guys go back and forth. And then, obviously, LSU, even though they've lost three games, they have a potential Heisman contender at the quarterback position, which is insane.
Yeah. Couple of things. Number one, being an LSU fan and watching our defense go out there and not be able, like, it's the worst defense I've seen at LSU.
Right.
It is soul destroying to watch the Tigers get messed over like that.
A team that perennially has had great safeties, great D-line.
Great everything.
Great everything, right.
Great everything. Yeah. We are a defensive school with so much pride. And Jalen Milroe looked like Joe Exotic out there. Like, he was the Tiger King.
Untouched for 23-yard touchdowns.
We're bad in the gaps. We're bad at the point of attack. We're bad physically. If somebody's not out of place, they're getting run over.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's not getting run over, then they're out-schemed to the wide side. When we talk about what we expect from coaches, man, forget about Coach Prime. Coach Kelly has been there. LSU, this is only his second year, but that's an experienced coach. And I'll tell you something right now. If him and Matt House and the rest of the people down there in Baton Rouge don't understand what the defensive standard at LSU is, that seat is going to get hot super quick. To waste the type of offense we have right now with Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr. and Mason Taylor and the stable of backs, the offensive line is a little bit better than it was last year. Gaining experience by the day, and the quarterback, to waste that on a defense this bad.
Well, let's talk about the integrity of college football. Last thing before we move on. There is a big scandal that is happening right now. Jim Harbaugh, someone that said he is trying to get rid of the cheaters in college sports back in 2018. Now he has the fingers pointing his way for a sign-stealing scandal. There is a lot of coaches that have chimed in on this, a lot of commentators that have chimed in on this, and I wanted to get what Van Lathan thought about this. What are your thoughts on Connor Stallions and this whole sign-stealing sort of scandal, fiasco, whatever you want to call it?
This is the kind of thing that's against the rules, but I think should actually be rewarded.
Okay.
Okay? I think that if it could be proven that you sent an analyst or a head coach to another game to watch a whole game to steal signs, I think that's enterprising.
Mm-hmm.
I say free this man.
Mm-hmm.
I say free him. You know what I mean? Give them control of the defense or something like that.
Right.
I say there's very few times that cheating comes out that I'm not like super impressed. That's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you ever see that movie Wind Talkers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know how in Wind Talkers they were like decoding the codes
right,
and all of that stuff?
You're saying you're just gaming the game.
Gaming the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros had a whole nother language, bro.
Right.
They were using acoustics to cheat. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that that's not impressive, Tate. If you're going to go to that level, you're banging the drum and the whole nine. I'm going back listening to the games. I'm like, yo, they got some beats coming from the dugout. No, they stealing and cheating. Give them more. It's fine. I couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. I know that sign stealing is happening. It's against the rules. Yo, if you want to suspend everybody and fire everybody, that's cool. But if we all collectively decided that we wanted to move on, which we probably should, that would be cool too. I will say this about Jim Harbaugh. He always in the middle of something.
Always. It's never a break.
It's never like he.
Yeah, it's never easy.
He is a coaching savant. He's so good at it, particularly at the college level, getting the most out of a program. But he's just annoying. He's like like an Urban Meyer type. Yeah, you can do your thing, but you're just always in the middle of something. What's going to happen is what always happens. This will be the year that Michigan wins the national championship.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I think. I think this is the year that they win the national championship, right. And then everyone's talking about Connor Stallions the entire time. Apparently, he wrote a manifesto about how he was going to take over Michigan football that they have now. I mean,
a manifesto?
A manifesto where he basically plotted out how he was going to become the force of Michigan
football.
First of
all, I want you guys to think about this. This has got to be a made-up story, right? What I'm saying is this whole thing is made up. This guy's name is Connor Stallions.
Right.
And he wrote a manifesto.
Right.
This, come on, man.
Yeah.
This is like a bad.
He's somebody's
movie.
Cousin. He's the fall guy.
Right. It's like somebody putting him. That's not even a real name. Connor Stallions.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not for that the line of work. I could think of another line of work where Connor Stallions might be a name that you could get away with. But like I'm saying this. Everybody is acting like college football. The most annoying thing about college football to me. Is everyone acts like there's this sanctity, this purity of the game that must be upheld at all times. They've been cheating for years. Mm-hmm. They've been paying players for years. Mm-hmm. They've been doing all of this. It's a dog-eat-dog, rich programs game. Get rid of the guy, do whatever you're going to do, and let's move on and get back to the games, man. Like, I really couldn't care less about this story.
Yeah, let's get back to ball. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Victor Wembanyama and Bobby Knight and the new look Los Angeles Clippers.
Do it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, welcome back to Through the Ringer. We are still here with Van Lathan. And Van, I peppered you with questions about college football, but now let's talk about the NBA. I saw you in the office, what, about a week ago, yeah. And we were both kind of trying to gather our thoughts about a man that is taking the NBA by storm. Of course, I'm talking about Victor Wembanyama, and we talked about he might be the most unhateable new franchise star in the league. We don't know really how to parse through it, so let's start there. What are your initial first impressions of Victor?
Every reason to want him to succeed, and it's something very special. That's why I've decided to zag.
Oh, you're going to zag. Oh, my gosh. I love a zag.
This is everyone on Victor Wembanyama.
Right.
Oh,
straight
great.
Line.
He's doing everything. He did. This is me. Zag, zag, zag. I'm zagging. I don't know why I'm doing it. I'm just a surly old man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Chet Holmgren for the win.
Okay.
And I will.
You're USA basketball guy.
I'm
you're
staying
for the homeland.
Home.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
I'm staying home. I'm zagging. And let me tell you what's making me zag, and I want to talk to the NBA.
Yeah, please.
I want to talk to all of the people out there right now. Yo, don't make me dislike this kid. You guys are doing way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Wembanyama does a left-to-right crossover. Oh, my God.
Kevin Durant,
the
George
league
Gervin.
Has never seen anything like this before.
Yes,
and it started a long time ago. Like I don't like that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Wimby is a nice kid. He dressed up as Slender Man. He's in on the joke. All of that stuff is nice.
Right.
They're making me zag. Just let it happen, bro. Yeah. Let it. We ain't never seen nothing like this. Have you ever seen a guy? No. You know what? I haven't. Every time he does something, I've never seen it before. But it's fine. Chet all the way. I'm zagging. I'm going to get a Spurs jersey, Wembanyama, and I'm going to get a Ghostbusters sign around it and put it right through. I'm going to have fun hating the Spurs again. I've never liked the Spurs, and this is great for me. I get to hate the Spurs again as a Lakers fan.
Right.
Down.
David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama, and obviously Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. A lot of great players.
Bruce Bowen.
Steven Jackson, right?
Hateable. Steven Jackson, my man.
Yeah, you like Jack. Jack was like a nice change of pace for that culture. But look, the San Antonio Spurs, they have a guy. He's going to be one of the best. He's going to help Popovich. This would be like if, you know, Bill Belichick got Caleb Williams or some, you know, transformational star. You know what I mean? Like that.
Why would
it's,
you even say something?
Well,
like
I'm take it back. Take
why
it. Cut that.
Why would you even? What
I didn't
want to
speak it into existence. I apologize.
What if that happened?
I hope it doesn't. But at the end of the day, the Spurs right now with Victor Wembanyama, we have to respect the fact that they're getting covered. But you're just saying, tone it down a little bit. Like, let's give us a break.
Actually, let me tell you this. I'm doing the Spurs fans a favor right now. The fact that I'm deciding not to like Victor Wembanyama, that means that he will average 37 points, 17 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 14 assists a game. He's like, he is going to be a success. And
you're fueling him.
I'm fueling him with hate. My hate, right. The people that I don't like, they always do well. Like, guess, I'll give you an example of that. Guess who I hate?
Who's that?
Alabama.
Okay.
Has it affected them?
No.
Exactly.
They're doing great.
I'm doing the favor of all favors to Spurs fans right now. I'm not getting on the Victor Wembanyama train. I'm not getting on the Wimby train. But however, that helps you. He will be the greatest of all time.
Yeah, the hate can fuel you. And like you know with the Sith, right? The hate kind of sees through you and actually gives you power at some level. So
a very nice kid. I hope he does well.
Yeah.
Very nice kid.
He's a very nice kid. And I like the little young core that they have. You know what I mean? I like Sohan. I like there's fun pieces there. Pop will be fine. Congratulations to the Spurs. You have a superstar for 15 years. Let's talk about a team that is just trying to find something. They just want to win something.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Clippers, and we are here in Los Angeles. The big trade just happened. James Harden is now in the building. My sources are telling me that those four guys, the core stars, right? You know, Steve Ballmer talked about star insurance. Now you got four stars are planning to start. Does it work? Does James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, and Zubach, or whoever it may be, does it work? Can it win a championship?
It can, but it won't. It can
Very
win a championship.
Fair answer.
It can, but it won't. When playing healthy and motivated, Kawhi Leonard is the single most impressive and unstoppable basketball player in the league to me. Mm-hmm. Everybody always looks at me like I don't know ball when I say that, and maybe I don't. But I don't see guys dominate games in the way that he dominates games. He just is so inconsistent with when he's on the court, right? And when he's feeling great on the court that it's hard to see it sometimes. Him plus PG and Westbrook, with Westbrook like being rejuvenated ever since he took his Lakers jersey off, was already a team that was going to be tough to beat.
Tough out for anybody.
James Harden would have to show that he has the ability to fit into a culture that a team has, not disrupt that, play selfless, heady, and serious basketball. And I have nothing against James Harden. I think he's a fantastic, phenomenal player when he was at his height. He's just never done that, especially not as of late. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But they're the Clippers. So for me to believe that the Clippers have to win, that the Clippers can win a title, I have to be at the parade. Even if they won the title and it happened on the court, I'd still somehow believe that it didn't really happen.
Right.
I won't believe.
Are we in the bubble? Like, what's
going
on?
Like, something happened, like some kind of weird multiverse situation. Mm-hmm. I'd have to be at the parade watching everybody get drunk to be like, oh, okay, it finally happened for them. It's not even about the constitution of the team. They have enough talent to get over the hump. Denver's very tough. They have enough talent to get over the hump, though. I just have to see it proven on the court for some of these guys, particularly George, Westbrook, and Harden.
Last thing before I let you go, Van. Bobby Knight, one of the best coaches in college basketball history, just passed away. A lot of reflections, a lot of, you know, conversations about his impact on basketball. Quickly, your thoughts on Bobby Knight and just kind of how it relates to the culture in general, because Bobby Knight is, you know, when you close your eyes, you're like, he's a basketball coach, Bobby Knight, right?
He might be the last of the hallowed coaches of college basketball.
Of that, a bygone era.
Of the bygone era, right? Of the era where it was Dean Smith, where it
Big
was
John Thompson.
Big John Thompson, where it was Bobby Knight. Look, Bobby Knight certainly had a controversial career at Indiana, especially the way that it ended, right? And things that happened during the time. He was a lightning rod, very controversial figure. But there was an era of guys who built college basketball into what it is today in terms of tradition, in terms of it, the Final Four being this huge event, in terms of all of that stuff. And you cannot deny that Bobby Knight was among those guys. So while you're remembering everything else, maybe you didn't like Bobby Knight politically, maybe you didn't like Bobby Knight and the way he treated his players, but what you have to say is those guys from that era were part of the explosion of college basketball traditionally and commercially, and that's something to be said for the man and his legacy.
Yeah, and American basketball at large. He was the first person to say Michael Jordan was the best player in the game in 1984 after the Olympics.
Think of that.
I mean, right. Who sees that? And then also Steph Curry, when he was getting drafted, he's like, this is the best passer and point guard in the class. And everyone else is like, he's just a scrawny shooter, right? Bob Knight had a great basketball brain, so shout out to him. Rest in peace. Van Lathan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can we find all your amazing work?
Ringerverse. Higher Learning.
Yes.
All over the Ringer. The Rewatchables. Here with Tate.
Right.
Tate's my guy. Like, all of that stuff. Just look out for me. Help me in life. And I'll see you guys again.
Thanks, man.
No problem.